Welcome to the Bud Zone Podcast. I'm Bud, your host. The Bud Zone Podcast is for, from, and by saints, our buds in the faith, to edify one another in the faith and to encourage one another to love and good works. We discuss the world, we discuss the church, we discuss the faith, we discuss truth, and we do it with the mind of Christ. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to this episode of the Bud Zone Podcast. I appreciate you joining me. If you've listened before, you know that normally I am joined by a special guest, a faithful layman or a faithful pastor, and we discuss various things, what's going on in the church, what's going on in the world, and how the Lord is still at work building His church, edifying saints, exalting Christ, and glorifying God, even in the midst of all the times that we live in. But in the United States today, it is Thanksgiving Day. So rather than be joined by a living saint, I thought I would like to share a saint who is living in glory. I wanted to read an excerpt from a sermon given by a Puritan. We're going to look at Thomas Manton and his sermon. Technically, it's titled Sermon 70. It comes from Volume 7 of his 22-volume set published by Banner of Truth Trust. Thomas Manton was a Puritan. Let me just read a little of the biographical sketch on the flyleaf from Banner of Truth about Thomas Manton. They write, born in Somerset in 1620 from a long line of ministers, Thomas Manton entered the University of Oxford as early as 1635. Such was his progress that he was ordained by Bishop Hall at the age of 19. His first charge was in Stoke Newington, Middlesex, where he remained for 7 years. He was called to succeed Obadiah Sedgwick in the better-known pulpit of Covent Garden in London. His ministry came to be widely appreciated. Archbishop Usher, for example, called him one of the finest preachers in England. Stephen Charnock described him as the best collector of scents of the age. As such, he served as chaplain to the Lord Protector, Oliver Cromwell, and also as one of the triers responsible for the supervision of Christian ministry. Yet Manton was firmly opposed to the execution of Charles I, causing considerable offense by preaching before Parliament from Deuteronomy 33, verses 4 and 5. Later, he was instrumental in the restoration of Charles II and became royal chaplain. But when offered the deanery of Rochester, he chose rather to suffer with his Puritan brethren in the great ejection of 1662. Preaching thereafter in his own home, he was imprisoned for his ministry. Such was Manton's character, however, that when the custodian in charge was absent, he was given the keys to the jail. Manton died in 1677, but left behind him, as the 22-volume set of his works indicates, a lifetime of rich and practical biblical ministry. There is a sermon, as I mentioned, Sermon 70 from Volume 7, in which Thomas Manton is preaching on a single verse of Psalm 119. Now, most believers are going to know Psalm 119. It is the longest of the Psalms. It is also the longest chapter in the Bible. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, in his series The Treasury of David, gives nearly 350 pages worth of commentary content just to Psalm 119. But about the psalm as a whole, Spurgeon wrote this: "This sacred ode is a little Bible, the Scriptures condensed, a mass of Bibline holy writ, rewritten in holy emotions and actions. Blessed are they who can read and understand these saintly aphorisms. They shall find golden apples in this true Hesperides, and come to reckon that this psalm, like the whole Scripture which it praises, is a pearl island, or, better still, a garden of sweet flowers." Thomas Manton preached Sermon 70 on verse 62 of Psalm 119. that verse reads, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." And I'll now begin reading from the sermon an excerpt. And again, you can find this in Volume 7 of the series, The Works of Thomas Manton, published by Banner of Truth Trust. Manton begins, Doctrine Point 1. One special duty wherein the people of God should be much exercised is thanksgiving. Doctrine 2. That God's providence rightly considered, we shall in the worst times find much more cause to give thanks than to complain. Doctrine 3. That a heart deeply affected with God's providence will take all occasions to praise God and give thanks to His name, both in season and out of season. One special duty wherein the people of God should be much exercised is thanksgiving. This duty is often pressed upon us. Hebrews 13:15. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. There are two words used there, praise and thanksgiving. Generally taken, they are the same. Strictly taken, thanksgiving differeth from praise. They agree that we use our voice in thanksgiving as we do also in praise, for they are both said to be the fruit of our lips. What is in the prophet Hosea chapter 14, verse 2, is calves of our lips. In the Septuagint, it is the fruit of our lips. And they both agree that they are a sacrifice offered to our supreme benefactor, or that they belong to the thank offerings of the gospel. But they differ in that thanksgiving belongeth to benefits bestowed on ourselves or on others, but in relation to us, praise to any excellency whatsoever. Thanksgiving may be in word or deed, praise in words only. Well then, thanksgiving is a sensible acknowledgement of favors received, or an expression of our sense of them by word and work to the praise of the bestower. The object of it is the works of God as beneficial unto us, or to those who are related to us, or in whose good or ill we are concerned, as public persons and as magistrates. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, for pastors of the church, 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf, or our kindred according to the flesh, or some bond of Christian duty. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Another place where this duty is enforced is Ephesians 5:20, where we are bidden to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where you see a duty, it is of a universal and perpetual use, and one wherein the honor of God and Christ is much concerned. A third place is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." See what reason he urgeth, the express will of God requiring this worship at our hands. God's will is the fundamental reason of our obedience in every command, but here is a direct charge. Now God hath made known the wonders of his love in Christ. The necessity of being much and often in thanksgiving will appear by these two considerations. 1. Because God is continually beneficial to us, blessing and delivering His people every day, and by new mercies giveth us new matter of praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the God of our salvation, who loadeth us daily with His benefits, Selah. He hath continually favored us and preserved us and poured His benefits upon us. The mercies of every day make way for songs which may sweeten our rest in the night, and His giving us rest by night and preserving us in our sleep when we could not help ourselves, giveth us songs in the morning. And all day long we find new matter of praise. Our whole work is divided between receiving and acknowledging. And point two, some mercies are so general and beneficial that they should never be forgotten, but remembered before God every day, such as redemption by Christ. Psalm 111:4, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. We must be daily blessing God for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I understand it of His grace by Christ. We should ever be thus blessing and praising Him, for the keeping of His great works in memory is the foundation of all love and service to God. It is a profitable duty. The usefulness of thanksgiving appeareth with respect to faith, love, and obedience. With respect to faith, faith and praise live and die together. If there be faith, there will be praise. And if there be praise, there will be faith. If faith, there will be praise, for faith is a bird that can sing in winter. Psalm 56:4, In God will I praise His word, in God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And verse 10, In God I will praise His word, in the Lord I will praise His word. His word is satisfaction enough to a gracious heart. If they have His word, they can praise Him beforehand for the grounds of hope before they have enjoyment. As Abraham, when he had not a foot in the land of Canaan, yet built an altar and offered sacrifices of thanksgiving because of God's grant and the future possession in his posterity. Genesis 13:18. Then, whether he punish or pitieth, we will praise him and glory in him. Faith entertaineth the promise before performance cometh, not only with confidence, but with delight and praise. The other part is, if praise, there will be faith. That is, supposing the praise real, for it raiseth our faith to expect the like again, having received so much grace already. All God's praises are the believer's advantage. The mercy is many times given as a pledge of more mercy. If life, He will give food and bodily raiment. It holdeth good in spiritual things. If Christ, other things with Christ. One concession draweth another. If He spares me, He will feed me and clothe me. The attributes from whence the mercy cometh is the pillar of the believer's confidence and hope. If such a good, then a fit object of trust. If I have found Him a God hearing prayer, I will call upon Him as long as I live. Psalm 116:2. Praise doth but provide a matter of trust and represent to us as a storehouse of all good things and a sure foundation for dependence. The great respect it hath to love. Praise and thanksgiving is an act of love, and then it cherisheth and feedeth love. It is an act of love to God, for if we love God, we will praise Him. Prayer is a work of necessity, but praise a mere work of duty and respect to God. We would exalt Him more in our own hearts and in the hearts of others. Psalm 71:14, I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. We pray because we need God, and we praise Him because we love Him. Self-love will put us upon prayer, but the love of God upon praise and thanksgiving. Then we return to give Him the glory. Those that seek themselves will cry to Him in their distress, but those that love God cannot endure that He should be without His due honor. In heaven, when other graces and duties cease, which belong to this imperfect state, as faith and repentance cease, yet love remaineth. And because love remaineth, praise remaineth, which is our great employment in the other world. So it feedeth and cherisheth love, for every benefit acknowledged is a new fuel to keep in the fire. Psalm 118:1, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 116:1, I will love the Lord who hath heard the voice of my supplications. Deuteronomy 30:20, that thou mayest love the Lord who is thy life and the length of thy days. The soul by praise is filled with a sense of the mercy and goodness of God, so that hereby he is made more amiable to us. With respect to submission and obedience to his laws and providence, regarding his laws, the greatest bond of duty upon the fallen creature is gratitude. Now grateful, we cannot be without a sensible and explicit acknowledgement of his goodness to us. The more frequent and serious in that, the more doth our love constrain us to devote ourselves to God. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. To live for him, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And therefore praise and thanksgiving is a greater help to the spiritual life than we are usually aware of. For working in us a sense of God's love and an actual remembrance of his benefits, as it will do if rightly performed, it doth make us shy of sin, more careful and solicitous to do his will. Shall we offend so good a God? God's love to us is a love of bounty. Our love to God is a love of duty, when we grudge not to live in subjection to him. 1 John 5:3, his commandments are not grievous. Submission to his providence. There is a querulous and sour spirit which is natural to us, always repining and murmuring at God's dealing, and wasting and vexing our spirits in heartless complaints. Now, this fretting, quarreling, impatient humor, which often showeth itself against God, even in our prayers and supplications, is quelled by nothing so much as by being frequent in praises and thanksgivings. Job 1:21, the Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is an act of holy prudence in the saints, when they are under any trouble, to strain themselves to the quite contrary duty of what temptations and corruptions would drive them unto. When the temptation is laid to make us murmur and swell at God's dealings, we should, on the contrary, bless and give thanks. And therefore the psalmist doth frequently sing praises in the saddest condition. There is no perfect defeating the temptation but by studying matter of praise and to set seriously about the duty. So, Job 2:10, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Shall we receive so many proofs of the love of God and quarrel at a few afflictions that come from the same hand, and rebel against his providence when he bringeth on some needful trouble for our trial and exercise? And having tasted so much of his bounty and love, repine and fret at every change of dealing, though it be useful to purge out our corruptions and promote our communion with God? Surely nothing can be extremely evil that cometh from this good hand. As we receive good things cheerfully and contentedly, so must we receive evil things submissively and patiently. It is a most delightful work to remember the many thousand mercies God hath bestowed on the church, ourselves, and friends. To remember his gracious word and all the passages of his providence, is this burdensome to us? Psalm 147:1, praise ye the Lord, for it is pleasant. Psalm 135:3, sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Next to necessity is profit. Next to profit is pleasure. No necessity so great as spiritual necessity, because our eternal well-being or ill-being dependeth on it, and beggary is nothing but being found naked in the great day. No profit so great as spiritual. That is not to be measured by the good things of this world, or little pelf, or a great mammon, which so many worship, but some spiritual and divine benefit, which tendeth to make us spiritually better, more like God, more capable of communion with him. That is true profit. It is an increase of faith, love, and obedience. So for pleasure and delight, that which truly exhilarateth the soul begets upon us a solid impression of God's love. That is the true pleasure. Carnal pleasures are unwholesome for you, like luscious fruits which make you sick. Nothing is so hard of digestion as carnal pleasures. This feedeth the flesh, warreth against the soul, but this holy delight that resulteth from the serious remembrance of God and setting forth His excellencies and benefits is safe and healthful and doth cheer us, but not hurt us. Heighten all the mercies you have by all the circumstances necessary to be considered. By the nature and kind of them, spiritual, eternal blessings first, the greatest mercies deserve greatest acknowledgement. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Christ's Spirit, pardon of sins, heaven, the way of salvation known, accepted, and the things of the world as subordinate helps. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Then consider your sense in the want of mercies. What high thoughts had you then of them? The mercies are the same when you have them and when you want them. Only your apprehensions are greater. If affectionately begged, they must be affectionately acknowledged, else you are a hypocrite, either in the supplication or the gratulation. Consider the person giving, God, so high and glorious. A small remembrance from a great prince, no way obliged, no way needing me, to whom I can be no way profitable. A small kindness melts us, a gift of a few pounds, a little parcel of land. Do I court him and observe him? There is less reason why God should abase himself to look upon us or concern himself in us. Psalm 113:6. He humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. We have all things from him. Consider the person receiving, so unworthy. Genesis 32:10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. 2 Samuel 7:18. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Consider the season. Our greatest extremity is God's opportunity. Genesis 22:14. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen when the knife was at the throat of his son. 2 Corinthians 1:9-10. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, and delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Consider the end and fruit of his mercy. It is to manifest his special love to us, and engage our hearts to himself. Isaiah 38:17. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, or thou hast loved me from the grave. Otherwise, God may give things in anger. Consider the means by which he brought them about when unlikely, unexpected in themselves, weak, insufficient. The greatest matters of providence hang many times upon small wires. A lie brought Joseph into prison, and a dream fetched him out. He was advanced, and Jacob's family fed. Consider the number of his mercies. Psalm 139:17, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. The many failings pardoned, comforts received, dangers prevented, deliverances vouchsafed, how he began with us before all time, conducted us in time, and hath been preparing for us a happiness which we shall enjoy when time shall be no more. This is an excerpt from Thomas Manton's sermon. It is the prime duty of Christians, the special duty of Christians, to give thanks. You can go online and find this sermon, or you can find it, as I said, in Volume 7 of the 22-volume Works of Thomas Manton. It's an exceptional exegesis of Psalm 119:62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I appreciate you joining me. I pray that you will consider this. Hopefully you'll go look at this sermon in greater detail, ponder it, study it, and I pray that today, this Thanksgiving Day in the United States, that you will have a blessed day, that you will give thanks unto God, that you will enjoy the fellowship with friends and family, and that the Lord will be exalted in your midst, and that God would be glorified. Thank you. Join us again next week, where we'll have a special guest, a live one this time, and we will continue discussing the Lord's work in the midst of the times that we live in. Thank you. God bless you.
And that concludes this episode of The Bud Zone. The Bud Zone podcast is a member of the Christian podcast community, where you can find scores of biblically sound podcasts for your edification and encouragement. Go to ChristianPodcastCommunity.org to discover more. You are now leaving the Bud Zone. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And just a reminder, no doctrines have been harmed during the recording of this show.